Welcome to the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, located in Southeast Columbia at 3100 Trotter Road, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. Now, stay tuned for the Word Alive.
God has us on a journey of speaking to us from the thought when difficulties meet destiny in our lives. And we started out by raising three statements, and those statements were simply this: life is good with God, and I believe we all agree with that. Life has its normal and sometimes abnormal challenges, and that life can have its unexplainable events. God started us on this journey by bringing these Old Testament biblical characters to the forefront of our life. We got to see David at a very difficult moment in his life, perhaps one of the most challenging moments in his life, outside of just running from Saul all the time. When he returned to his city and everything was gone, his family were gone, the families and children of all of his 600 soldiers were gone. How many know that was an unexplainable event? But how many know that turned to destiny because David decided to pray? Then we looked at Gideon, another example of how difficulties turn into destiny. The children of God that was being oppressed by the Midianites, but thank God, when they cried out to him in prayer, how many know God turned a difficult situation into a destiny? On last week, we looked at the life of Esther, whom God used a little Jewish girl to save a nation. And there were some things we found out about Esther that perhaps we had never thought about. And one of the things was her past life experiences did not keep her from present opportunities. Don't ever let the enemy magnify your past to where you think God can't use you in your future. We said her willingness to be submissive was preparing her for future empowerment. And the last thing was she responded to fear with faith actions that saved the nation. Now, one common thread we see in all of these incidents in the Bible is that it was prayer and the power of God that came together to turn things around for their good. Let me say that again. It was prayer and the power of God coming together that turned things around. Devastating events was turned around by the grace of God, whereby what looked like an impossible situation end up seeing the favor and blessings of God manifest. I don't know about you, but in the conclusion of events like that, only thing we can say is only God. Now, I want you to look at this figure today because this is a very interesting event that the Bible records in Numbers 22. What we have here is a non-Israelite prophet by the name of Balaam, who, like many others of Eastern religion in that day, they exercised themselves in the worshiping of all kinds of God. Balaam is not a servant of God, but he becomes an instrument that God uses for his glory. How many know God can use wicked people to bring his purposes to pass? The scripture says it like this: the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, God can turn a wicked king to fulfill his purpose. That's why you never get in fear, no matter who may be in authority. Because when you put your faith in God, how many know that person becomes subject to the power of God? And so God's people, they are going in the direction that God is leading. And in the process, they are having to fight battles to get to what God has promised them. And as a believer, you need to understand that battles are part of the Christian experience. So they're having to fight these battles, and all of a sudden, this king of Moab by the name of Balak. Balak had heard about Israel's continual advancement of victories. He became afraid, and he knew that he didn't want to fight them in war because they were beating up everybody. So what he decided was that I will go and get a person who practiced divination. I will get a person who practiced sorcery. I will go get a person who know how to dabble into the evil dark world. We would say a root doctor. So he goes and he hires this person. Now, this person has a reputation of getting results. When he put a curse on a person, everybody know it works. Now, when it comes to stuff like this, I've heard people who don't have spiritual understanding. They say, oh, I don't believe in that stuff. And some people say that, well, I don't believe in it because I think when you believe in it, that's when it works. Anybody hear people respond like that when you start talking about divination, sorcery, witchcraft, and all this people putting curses on people and all this? Let me share some light on you. This practice was going on before you and I ever showed up. It's in the Bible. So what Balak does is Balak get this guy by the name of Balaam, and he hires Balaam to put a curse on Israel because he said that if they have a curse on them, I know they won't be able to defeat us. And so I want us to pick up and look at some things here because how many know this is a difficult situation that can turn into destiny. So in verse 1, the Bible says, then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. See it in verse 3. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Do what? Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. For the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand. And they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. He sent a group of men to go and pay money to the diviner. How many know root doctors make money? Palm readers make money. How you think they stay in business? So Balaam is a diviner. A diviner is a person who do chants and do all kinds of things to look into the dark world. And those demonic spirits, they begin to manipulate so they can get the answer that they need for the people that they are going in their behalf. This is the first thing I see here. The unseen opposition becomes the seen. God displays his power. Israel have no idea that Balak is trying to work witchcraft on them. They have no idea that Balak is going to see a diviner to place a curse on them. I mean, no, it is unseen to them. But it becomes the scene of the platform where God is going to display his power. So these are some lessons we can learn. What God's people are not aware of, God is fully engaged to stand against the forces of evil that seeks to bring harm to our lives. Don't you know you have some people who don't like you that you don't even know? Don't you know you got some people who want to see harm come to your life? I'm just telling you, this is the world we live in. And if you are doing anything for God, there are demonic spirits that Satan has assigned to harass you. See, when you give your life to Jesus, Satan becomes your enemy and you are a target to him. But God will protect you. And get this, it'll be like Job. He has to get permission to touch you. Israel may not have the perfect case to present in the courtroom of grace, but their God is a perfect God who is present in their behalf. Israel has been missing the mark. If you look at Numbers 14, you will see all Israel just complaining. They keep going back and forth. They're doing all that, but yet God stands up and represent them in the court of mercy. Sometimes people think they deserve bad things to happen to them. Sometimes people think, oh, I know something bad going to happen now. I'll tell you, some people live in that arena of fear. I was talking to a person one time, and they would say, well, wait a minute, let me knock on wood. That's fear. They don't expect blessing. Or they'll say something like this, well, don't let me talk too soon. What's that?
Fear.
And we got to realize that a lot of times we've been raised up in environments and settings where there was, we didn't call it witchcraft, but there was evil practices that we didn't even know were evil. We laugh at it, but that black cat causing us to turn around and go the other way, all those kinds of things. How many know we got to be careful? That stuff derived from somewhere, and we laugh at it now. All of us was little witches walking around doing stuff and didn't know it. See, this is what I want to tell you. Don't ever give place to the enemy to think that you deserve something negative to happen to you. Or that somebody say, oh, yeah, you wait. It's going to come around. Don't receive that. Don't ever open yourself up to that. Don't ever let something happen and all of a sudden, let's say a black cat crossed the road. Don't you turn your car around. Don't you bow down to that demonic activity. You look at that black cat and say, you better be glad you got across because I'm going to take you out. Well, most of us don't like cats now. Okay. Now the fellow say, man, if I meet a girl and she loves cats, I can't date her. Listen to Psalms 103, verse 10 and 12. Listen to what the word of the Lord say. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Listen, listen. God don't give us what we deserve. When you sin and when I sin, the enemy makes us think, oh, something bad gonna happen. We open the door for the enemy to manifest something. But the Bible says God hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We open the door to certain demonic activity because of fear. In Luke 11, 21 to 22, the parable of the strong man, listen to what Jesus said. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and devises his spoil. Who is the strong man? Satan. Satan is the strong man. And I mean, no, he guards his palace. But there is a what? Stronger man, which is Jesus. He comes and he takes away his armor. That's why Paul asked the question in Romans 8, 31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The second thing I learned from this situation here with Balaam is this, that believers' covenant identity is the defense weapon against all opposition. You say, well, Pastor, what is my covenant identity? Look at verse 9. The Bible says, then God said to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? So Balaam said to God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. Read verse 12 with me. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. For they are what? They are blessed. Oh, go, wait a minute. They are blessed, therefore you can't curse them. The only thing that keep him from cursing them is they're blessed. Being blessed is your covenant identity. You're not trying to get blessed. You are blessed. See, a covenant of blessing will keep evil away. The blessing, what was the blessing? The blessing was the plan, the promises, and the purposes of God in their lives. You're not blessed because you have a house. You're not blessed because you have a car. You're not blessed because you have a job. You're blessed because you're part of a covenant that has a purpose and have promises and a plan from God Almighty. And God said to Balaam, you can't curse them because that's why, listen, that's why witchcraft won't work on me. That's why witchcraft won't work on you. That's why people can put down the spanky dust. They can get your picture and put it in a jar. They can turn it upside down. They can do all they want to do. You can go to sleep. You're not saying it won't work on me because it only works if you believe in that stuff. You're saying it won't work on me because I believe in the Almighty God who has all power. That's why it doesn't work. Some of y'all have been to see the man before. Or the woman. Sometimes families have somebody in the family who the family send to when they got problems. You can have some problems in your marriage. You say, well, you need to go down and see your aunt. She'll fix it where he'll never leave you. I'm just showing you, this ain't nothing new. Balaam's job is not new. There are a lot of people work like Balaam. See, God recognized the ability of evil that is present in the universe in which we live. God don't deny that. God is a spirit, and I mean, Satan is a spirit. Spirits have abilities that are outside of the natural realm of the human experience. Now, when this kind of activity is going on, there's nothing natural happening in the natural. They have tapped into a sphere, what the Bible calls the unseen realm. That's where spirits operate. Spirits don't operate in the natural where you can see a person and say, oh, that. No, spirits operate in the unseen realm. They manifest themselves through people, but they're evil spirits. However, because of the believer's covenant identity in Christ, there is a covenant of favor, a blessing that provides them protection that is out of this world. Only thing that kept Israel protected was that they were blessed by God. So listen to when Jesus sends out the disciples. He understands that if they're going to go out and preach the gospel, that they are going to have somebody that's going to oppose them, because Satan do not want the word of God to go out. If you're in a church and you're being taught the word of God, oh man, I'm telling you, the devil will do everything he can to try to harass you. He don't mind you going to church. He don't want you to get the word of God in your heart. He don't want you to know that my identity is in Christ and I'm in a covenant of blessing and no evil can come upon me. And you will start looking at fear. I mean, even in your house, where you walk around fearful in your house, you listen to the news, fear grabbing you. You'll get to a point where anything that looked like fear, you'll rebuke it in the name of Jesus. God has not given me a spirit of fear. I don't play with fear. I don't accommodate fear. I rebuke fear, because fear is the door of access. That's why all through the Bible, what would God say? Fear not, fear not. Even when God showed up on the scene, and some of his prophets would see him or something, and all of a sudden God said, wait, fear not. It is I. Don't fear. So in Luke chapter 10, so listen what the 70 said when they went out to carry the gospel. See, they were really going out to carry the gospel. But if you're going to go out and do something for God, how many know you're going to get opposition? So the Bible said, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. How many know? Glory to God. They had joy. They'd never done this kind of stuff before. They never stood there and said, Satan, I rebuke you, come out. And he came out. So they were joyful. That demons, what's that? Spirits, evil spirits are subject to us. But get this now, what? In your name. Not in my title. Not because I'm an apostle. Not because I've been walking with Jesus. But because I know the authority of the name of Jesus. And we found out that when we use your name, demons are subject to us. That means, get this, they do what we tell them. That's why Jesus, you notice when he got ready to deal with people that had unclean spirits, he would say to them, shut up. He wasn't telling them to shut up. He was telling the demons to shut up. Sometimes they would want to come tell him, oh, you are the Son of the Most High God. Jesus said, shut up. I don't need you to tell me who I am. I got my worshipers who can tell me and tell others who I am. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Bible says, he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice rather your names are written in heaven. And at that time, he rejoiced greatly in the spirit. Those disciples were excited. Listen, if you're a born again Christian, you got the same authority over unclean spirits. You don't have to be in fivefold ministry. Listen, men, we that are men, and we're supposed to be gatekeepers of our home. We're supposed to be what? The security guard in our home. Amen. So how many know if somebody break in, I hope the man will say, let me go handle it. If he's upstairs with his wife, I hope the man say, well, stay here while I go check it out. And not, honey, go down there and check it out while I stay here. Am I right about it? She'll look at him. What kind of man are you? You need to man up. How many know a woman to tell you to man up when she think you acting like a wimp? Get some backbone. In Acts chapter 16, Paul encountered a woman who did the same thing that Balaam did. And the Bible said in Acts 16, verse 16, listen to this. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by what? By fortune telling. I'm telling you, these people make money. Because people go see them. People recommend them. But I'm saying people know people that do stuff like that. And they tell people, you know, go and see so-and-so. I'm showing you, this stuff is real, people. But thank God that we're in a covenant of blessings. It won't work on me. Everybody say that. It won't work on me. It won't work on me. People on your job could be doing something. You don't know nothing about it. See, you got to be able to identify that spirit so you can deal with it. The Bible says she followed Paul and us crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to what? To the spirit. Listen, it's a woman. She operates with divination. But when Paul turned to her after being annoyed by her for days, he had to wait for God to give him the green light to deal with it. So evidently, he got a release in his spirit to deal with this spirit of this woman. And the Bible say he turned, said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And what happened? It came out. The name of who? Jesus Christ. See, saints, that's who name we use. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes when people come to me, it just seems like everything I touch turns south. Everything this. And they, man, all kinds of stuff like this and everything. You know, I just feel like the devil in this and the devil is that. My first question is, are you born again? Well, yeah, I'm born again. First of all, he has no license. I didn't say he wouldn't try it, but he don't have no license. Because folk can drive a car, but they may not have license. Am I in the right house now? Some of you might have suspended license here now, but I'm just showing you. You can drive a car, but if you don't have license, when the authority, say authority, when the authorities pull you over, why you think some of them jump out the car and run down in the woods? Because they don't have the right to be driving it. But when you got license, how many know you can pull them out and show it to the police? And you say, I got the right now to be driving this car. Well, when you use the name of Jesus, you let the devil know you don't have no license to harass my life. You have no license to bring sickness on me. You have no license to come and attack my finances. Didn't say he wouldn't do it, but he don't have the license to do it. So what you do to him, you arrest him. Hallelujah. I say you arrest him. You apprehend him. You rebuke him. You command him. Get your hands off. Paul turns and rebuked that spirit. It cost him something now. If you read on, they beat him because their means for gain was gone. The fortune teller, the woman that practiced divination, was bringing money in the hands of the authority. You will be amazed at the people who are in high positions, who engage people of the demonic world. You will be amazed how these political parties invite witches into the meetings so they can pray against certain things. Because they feel if I can't beat the person in the natural, I'll invite witches and warlocks, and they will show up in those meetings. They will show up in a church. Especially if it don't have no power. I say if it don't have no power. Ain't no witch and warlock going to come up in here. Because they know they got license over at Kingdom Builders. I say they got license at Kingdom Builders. I say they got license. Now every church, the members don't have license. But y'all got license. What? The name that is above every name. That name will cause every other name to bow down in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Saints, you will get to a place on your Christian journey where you tell the devil, I want you to raise your ugly head because I just feel like just casting out your glory to God. Glory to God. We're called to set the captives free. That's why we need to bring broken humanity. We don't need to look for nice people. I want to get some nice. Bring folk that are bound on stuff to your church. Got addictions in their life. Tell them, look here, why don't you come to my church? So we can lay hands on them and get those unclean spirits out of them. Am I in the right house now? Look to your neighbor, say, I'm a soldier. We're soldiers in God's army. Glory to God. We don't fight with natural weapons. We fight with the power of the blood of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. So Balaam is hired to curse Israel. And they don't even know nothing about it. But God is all up in the house. And God told him, don't go to them. Because you can't curse the ones that I'm going to put a blessing on. Saints, I thank God I'm on a covenant blessing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why I don't mind tithing. Why? Because if I'm on a covenant blessing, blessings come my way. The last thing, and we're going to close. You have to make endurance your goal regardless of the persistence of the opposer. The Bible say endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we just want God to change it. God is saying, no, I want you to endure it. I want you to persevere in it. Because what I'm doing in your life now and what I'm shaping you for in your future, there's going to be an anointing of resilience on the inside of you. That where most people give up, commit suicide, backslide, you're going to keep pressing. You're going to keep pressing your way because of endurance. Well, some people get mad at me and get this attitude toward me. God said, you're not going to do that. You're going to draw closer to me. You're going to tell the others how good I am in the midst of your storm. So verse 13, so Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. How many know the devil is stubborn? Verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus said Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you great. Get this. And I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come. Get this. Curse this people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servant of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say. Wait a minute. God told him, don't go. He's been offered more temptation. Look how God responds. Now, therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know more the Lord will say to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them. Wait a minute. God told him in verse 12, don't go with them. Now he's telling him to go. Somebody said, well, is God changing his mind? No, God has not changed his mind. God is working with the stubbornness of Balaam. Because he know right now, Balaam is in the mode called self-will. I don't care what God say. I'm going to work this thing out. Anybody ever been there before? Amen. Saw every sign that God told you to stop. But you kept saying, I'm going to figure this thing out one way or another. Because when self-will get on the throne, how many know the will of God is put to the side? And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise, go with them. But only the word which I speak to you that you shall do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because what? Because he went. Wait a minute, God, you told him to go. No, God knew it was in his heart to go. He went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him, and he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in a warfaring angel. Saints, I got to close, but get this. The angel comes and the donkey is more sensitive of God than Balaam. The donkey got enough sense to know this ain't working. You got a covenant of blessing over your life. If you're born again, I'm telling you, your covenant identity is this. I'm blessed.
This concludes our time for this week's message from the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. To obtain a copy of today's message, please let us know the date and time of the broadcast and forward that information to Kingdom Builders Christian Center, P.O. Box 9206, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please include $7 for each CD request to cover the cost of shipping. Each Sunday, join the KBCC family for morning worship services at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening worship services at 7 p.m. Children and youth ministries are available. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at kingdom-builders.com. Have a blessed week and join us next Sunday for The Word Alive.